Good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Hopefully you kept all of your fingers. If you had 10, you still do. If you had 8, maybe, then you still do, something like that. But anyway, I wanna pray before we jump into the message today. 4th of July weekend, I know it was a couple of days ago, 4th of July, but just wanna pray. So if we could do that. God, thank you today for your grace and work. God, we pray over our nation that, Lord, there is so much that goes on that we observe in various forms that shows polarization and anger and frustration and all of the stuff. And we just ask for your spirit to move among our leadership, that when Paul writes to pray for leaders and those in authority, we pray, God, for our own mayor and city council, God, for our county and state leaders, God, for those in our nation making decisions that impact all of us in different ways, that God, you would move. And whether they acknowledge who you are and have any reverence for who you are, or they're just kind of doing their thing, that God, you would still move in them, Father. We ask for your covering. We pray that, Lord, you would help us to live the kind of lives that are productive, God, that we don't get sucked into all of the stuff that continues to churn up anger and division, that churn up hatred and vitriol and all the stuff, and even fear, God, that we don't live in fear. And I do pray that for those of us that would say that we're followers of Christ, that we keep our heads, that God, we draw near to you, that we have peace beyond understanding, and that again, we do our part, God, to be productive, to extend your grace and your love and your work in our world, God, because it's not happening on a lot of levels, but we thank you for your work over this nation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in Acts chapter 16. Today is part 10 in a relatively long series. You might have, if you've been around for a bit, wish you were here. And the reason for the title, Wish You Were Here, is because we're taking on the book of Acts, and we're looking at, in particular, Paul's missionary journeys. We're talking about the second journey today, but we talked about his first one. And the whole book of Acts, Wish You Were Here, idea is this. When you read what happens in the book of Acts, and you hear the stories, that it's not just stories that you go, wow, that's amazing what they did, but part of understanding the context of Acts is also understanding you and I are actually part of the extension of the book of Acts. And so while you can go, wow, that's sure a long time ago, how do I fit in? If you've ever read the last chapter of Acts, it doesn't end with the end. It actually ends with Paul continuing to be a witness about the gospel, and it kind of moves on, and then we study early church history, and what we find out is the church continues and continues and continues and continues all the way to today. So when you read and hear these stories, it's not just going, wow, how cool to be part of that. Wow, how cool to experience what Paul did. It's understanding that there's a part of the story that's meant to involve you and me in what would be Acts chapter, I don't know what, like 1,000 maybe. But nevertheless, we're meant to be part of this story. And so we pick up in Acts 16. And at this point, just a brief recap of kind of where we've been. Again, first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas and the crew. And they come back and they establish in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council. Hey, do Christians need to obey any part of the law? And the answer in their debate back and forth, Acts 15, is here's the deal. They don't need to deal with circumcision and all this stuff. They need to avoid sexual immorality, blood, meat of strangled animals, and anything that's sacrificed to an idol, and wish them well. And for you and I, most of that, we're like, I don't know what that's about, except that we talk about sexual immorality, and we've addressed some of that. But we come now to the second journey. And Paul and Barnabas go, hey, let's go and do another journey. And Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement about who to bring. And I talked about John Mark already. You can go back and listen to that. In Acts 16, we pick up with Paul along with Timothy and Silas, and then Luke, who's writing this down, the writer of Acts as well as the Gospel of Luke. And they're traveling. And it says this in verse 1, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And so Paul wants to take him along. They decide to circumcise him. We go, well, didn't they just say you don't have to be circumcised or deal with the law? And the context of Timothy's circumcision, which as an adult, that would be relatively painful, but we'll move on from that. Okay. Really has more to do with him being allowed in certain places where the Jews would gather to teach the temple areas. And so Timothy would have access to those areas. That's why he was circumcised. And Paul at one point in Corinthians would say, we meet people on their level to win them because we relate to who they are. And that's kind of what he's doing with Timothy when Timothy gets circumcised. So as it continues, it says they travel from town to town. They deliver the message from Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. And then it says the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in Numbers. And now we pick up in Acts 16, verse 6, and it says this: Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray again. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it would guide us, how the living word would enliven and challenge and speak to us that this isn't just the story of a bunch of people from way back when. While it is that, it includes us. That wish you were here is a reminder that in fact we are here in the book of Acts. And while it may not be chapter 16, it still exists in a world where the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. So wake us up in ways that you want to today, in Jesus' name, amen. So here again, we have Paul. And it says, his companions traveled through, and we bring up all of these places. And we're gonna show the map here, and I wanna take you kind of on this journey. Paul and Silas, if you're on the right over here, they're in Syrian Antioch, and that's when they decide, let's head out on this second journey. So Paul and Silas end up going to Tarsus, and then Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. That's where they come in contact with Timothy. Timothy joins them, and they continue to travel. What you're going to hear is words like Galatia and Phrygia, and if you're looking at the map, that's almost dead center up here, and those aren't cities. Those are regions. So that's where they travel through. And if you know the word Galatia, you're probably familiar with it because Galatians was written to the churches in that region. Paul would write that letter. So as he continues, it says, they went, if you go kind of north and west, you see the word Mysia. That's another region. And it says they traveled to Mysia, couldn't get anywhere. And they decided, let's go north and kind of east from there. So the arrow doesn't show this because they didn't end up going that way. But they tried. So it says Bithynia. If you look up here on my right in the tan area, you see the word Bithynia. It's another region. So they're not able to go where they're trying to go. So they end up going further west to Troas, which is on the edge of the Aegean Sea. Now, you didn't know this is where in the world is Carmen San Diego or whatever. And you know, you got to know your geography when you come to church. And some of you guys are like, it's summertime. This isn't cool, Pastor Nick. But anyway, so that's where they travel in this portion of the story. All of these places are in modern day Turkey. So if you know a map at all, and you know modern kind of history and geography, all of these are in the nation of Turkey currently. And that's where they're traveling. Now, I bring all of this up because they continue west and attempt to go certain places, but they're unable to. Finally, they get somewhere. And if you notice, something significant happens. Verse 9 says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul has a distinct, specific, spiritual vision of what God is saying to him. And I bring this up to ask you a question. When it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, are you aware that the Holy Spirit, not only if you're a follower of Jesus, lives inside of you, but desires to guide you, to convict you, to challenge you, to encourage you day after day after day? That we don't gather in an environment like this just to sort of, we do some music, and if you like the song, you might sing it. And some of you went, wow, shout to the Lord, that's a throwback, love that song. Are we gonna do the really cool key change in it? And we didn't do it, and I'm sorry for that. Anyway, and so you come and hear the music, and then you hear some guy yell at you for about 30, 35 minutes. And then you go home and you go, check, spiritual box is done. When in fact, for most of us, we're aware it's not about checking a spiritual box. It's not about showing up on a Sunday feeling good. My concern is this: would you be aware if the Spirit of Jesus were nudging you or guiding you in various ways, including through a dream or a vision? And I bring it up because sometimes my concern, and you're familiar with this, is that we live at such a pace that we don't make room for how the Holy Spirit would want to work in us aside from maybe 1 hour on a Sunday. That you might not be aware, but I believe that for some of you in the room, the Holy Spirit, tonight before you fall asleep, wants to tell you, hey, before you head to work tomorrow, I want to encourage you to be aware of this individual who's struggling, and I'm asking you to minister to them. That the Holy Spirit is going to challenge some of you that love roundabouts. That you're going to encounter at least one or two, and if you're going through Lake Stevens, like 27 of them. And part of them make zero sense at all, and I don't know how that ever got through any permitting process, but that's another story. But that you're going to encounter a roundabout, and God's going to go, be patient, because it's going to suck. It's not going to be fun, but don't lose your head and honk and give people certain fingers. Typically not the thumb, but anyways. That the Spirit of God is going to challenge you when you feel the temptation to walk into something that isn't Christ-centered. The Holy Spirit is going, don't go there, don't do that. Not just in the moment the temptation comes, but being aware that, hey, Tuesday you're headed somewhere. There's a temptation there. Be prepared. See, I'm a believer that the work of the Holy Spirit ought to challenge us in various ways. Yes, absolutely, primarily, I believe wholeheartedly, through the Word of God, through the Scriptures. That God gave us this gift that we simply call the Bible or the Scriptures, but it's an inspired book written by over 40 authors in a span of 1,600 years, all with the same theme, a God who loves us, and yet in our brokenness, we were separated from Him because of sin, and yet the cross means that you and I can be reconciled to that God. And over, as you dive into it, and as you stick to it, and we talk all the time about a daily reading plan, that it quickens you how you ought to live, not just in church for an hour, but what happens on Wednesday and Friday and Saturday, every other day of the week. Paul, it says, during the night had a vision. He either fell asleep, and you can say it's a dream, or somehow he's spending time in prayer and he has this picture or this thing that appears sort of before him or something. And it's called the Macedonian call. A man begging him, come to Macedonia and help us. What about you? Are you open to the fact that God works in some ways through dreams and visions as well? I was telling Heather that about 3 weeks ago, I had the craziest dream. And I was at a dining room table at someone's house. It wasn't my own, but at someone's house, and my kids were there, and we're around this table, and there's not food, but all of a sudden, Jesus is at the table too. And Jesus says in this dream, I'm coming back in a few days. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? But I'm like, all right, Lord, I don't know what this means, but I remember this, and I don't remember where the dream went after that. All I remember was like, oh, wow, like in the next 4 or 5 days, he's coming back? But here's the thing that I can parallel that to as I'm a reader and studier of Scripture. Paul, over and over, wrote about the urgency and awareness that Jesus at some point is coming back, that you and I have got to be prepared. That do we have Christ on the throne of our lives? Have we invited Him in to be the Savior from what we call sin, the things that separate us from a holy God? And so for me, it's like, I don't know what it means, Lord. And of course, as I wake up, I'm like, in the next like week, Lord? So I'm here to tell you this Friday, Jesus, okay, I'm not gonna say it. That's blasphemy, by the way, that if anybody ever says that, anybody remember like October 18th, whatever year was, like somebody said, Jesus is coming back. And a bunch of people were like, oh, buckle your seatbelt, here we go. Like, came and went, and he didn't, by the way. Remember that song? Two men walking up a hill, one disappears, and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. Terrifying! Here was the worst one. Man and wife asleep in bed. She rolls over and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Like, what? But I think about that, and I think about what Paul says. I don't know what the dream meant. And Jesus didn't come back a couple weeks ago, at least not that I'm aware of. At least we all hope he didn't, anyways. Hey, we missed it, guys. Hey, here we are. Here comes a tribulation. Okay, anyway, if we edit this, be careful how we edit this, okay? So it's just like, I'm never going to that church again. I don't know what that was. Yeah, he lost it. He's gone. But again, I didn't take that dream and go, well, just a bad burrito. I didn't. I was like, Lord, I don't know what it means. To this moment, I'm like, I'm not sure what it means, but I do know this. If I was to take anything from it, it would be the reminder, just like Paul would say, be ready, be prepared. He will come. Jesus said this way, at a time, you will never know. The day or the hour, no one knows, Jesus said. Not even the Son, only the Father in heaven. And so what can I take from it? Jesus didn't come back in 4 days. I got 96 hours. Here we are. But if I take the scriptures and put the dream in the midst of what's going on there, all I can say is for all of us, it's about being ready. Now, let me come back to the conversation. Are we heavenly minded enough that we're aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in us at any given time on any given day? From where you work to how you drive to the family you've been put in, to the neighborhood or apartment complex you live in, to the city that you're in, to the committees that you're part of in a community. Aware of how God wants to use you within the church or at iHeart or whatever it might be. God wants to use you. See, because remember, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And we went over this on Pentecost Sunday, June 7th. We talked about how Peter stands up because the crowd's like, what is happening? And he says, hey, this is what the prophet Joel said hundreds of years ago. And if you're taking notes, write down Acts 2, 17 and 18. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everybody say all people. He says, my sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy, declare the word of God. Now, I say that because unique in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and today, the Spirit is poured out on who? Everybody say all people. In the Old Testament, predominantly, the work and the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out sometimes on kings or those in leadership, but oftentimes on prophets and priests. And it was the Holy Spirit was reserved, for those individuals in particular. And you have random anomalies where the Holy Spirit is poured out in other ways. But in the New Testament, that's where Peter says, this is it. This is the moment. Joel said it. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. If you're in the room today, you're watching online, if you're a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you, not to give you goosebumps, not to make you feel amazing, although sometimes that can happen. Why? To use you to impact the world around you. To use you to make a difference in the sphere of influence God's given you. Again, often we're so busy and we call it the rat race. And I gotta go to work and I gotta pay the bills and I gotta get enough sleep and I gotta afford groceries and I gotta do it again tomorrow and next week and next month and I gotta raise these kids and they cost a fortune and everything keeps going up. Trying to have some fun and enjoy life and I have that responsibility. I gotta be over there and do this and do that. Sometimes we're so busy or oftentimes with our minds stuck in daily agendas and responsibilities. And sometimes if we're all brutally honest, we're not as consistent in seeking Jesus as we are scrolling social media. That we're not aware that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, wants to move in us, wants to reveal something to us, wants to convict us of sin, wants to empower us to be witnesses, wants to do something in us and through us to make a difference in the world around us. And we miss it. And so we feel spiritual on a Sunday when that guy yells at us. And then we just go about our week and hope it happens again next week. And we miss that everywhere in between, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is wanting to be engaged in our lives. I purposely skipped a huge piece of the story. I'm going to come back to it, though. Because here's what you find. On one hand, Paul has this dream of a man of Macedonia as they're in Troas. But what happened before that? It says they went from Lystra, if you can bring the map back up, they went from Lystra and Derbe through Galatia and Phrygia all the way over to Mysia. And then they tried to go to Bithynia. And then they couldn't, so they ended up in Troas. But why couldn't they do that? Look at what the text says. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the gospel in the province of Asia. What? But that's not the end of it. As verse 7 continues, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. And look, here it is again. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Why? Three-word answer. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. It could have been that they had this impression, we can't go there. The Spirit of God isn't allowing us to. It could have been that one of them had a vision or a dream about it. And the guys, the Lord is saying, don't go there. It could have been that others that were leaders in these areas of Mysia or Bithynia or wherever simply said, we know who you are and we're not allowing you to make speeches here. It could have been persecution. It could have been health issues. One guy had the bad burrito. The rest of the team's like, we gotta wait. It could have been, we don't know any specifics about why. All we know is that they were so heavenly minded about this stuff that they gave God credit for whatever it was. And they just say, God isn't letting us. The Spirit is blocking us. And how many of you know God uses various means? That's why about a year and a half ago, I talked about the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. Because some of you hear this message, and some of you are hearing it in a way that is convicting you of certain things that aren't right in your heart and you need to repent of. And some of you, God is challenging you that when you go to work tomorrow, look differently through the lens of, God, how do you want to use me to impact my coworkers? And some of you, God is saying, yep, the driving thing, knock it off. And some of you, again, it's the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit, challenging various individuals in various ways based on where you're at with the Holy Spirit in your life. Dynamic. The Apostle Paul, Luke says, the Lord didn't allow us. He basically says, we went this way, the Lord didn't allow us. We went that way, the Lord didn't allow us. We ended up in the Aegean Sea on the edge in Troas, just waiting. And then the Lord made it clear. That's all we get. But here's what I love. They said, God just isn't letting us. Basically, God just isn't letting us. And I say that because for you and I, do you know that, obviously, I said before, predominantly I believe God works through his word. And God works through the Spirit in tandem with the word. So the Spirit will never contradict what the word says. So I always say, be in the scriptures. How many of you guys know God can work through the boss you don't even like? Some of you, that's a sermon right there. And do not elbow your boss if he's next to you right now, or she. How many of you are married in here? God can work through your spouse. How many of you here have kids? How many in here are kids? God can work through your parents. Can I hear an amen, parents? Now, here's one for you. How many in here have kids? God can work through your kids. See, God can work in various ways. And I say all of this because I want to encourage you to have a divine sensitivity to the work of the Holy Spirit. I love this quote, and I don't know where I found it, and I just typed it up out of my mind because I hadn't found it from when I read it before, but it goes something like this. What if you trusted God so much that you don't even get upset when things don't go your way? We don't know why Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and his crew were hindered from preaching the gospel where they thought they wanted to. I don't know why. There's various options that could be reasons. And for you and I say that because there are times when the Holy Spirit is telling you to chill. Times the Holy Spirit is leading you into something that you need to walk straight into. The words of the great theologian, Kenny Rogers. You gotta know when to hold them, when to fold them. Okay, so anyway. Did he really? I'm sorry. That was bonus for this service only. Okay. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So let's go back to the map again for fun. Might as well get mileage out of it today. So far, every place we've talked about on the map has been in what nation modern day? Turkey. Turkey is on what continent? Asia. You're like, this really is geography. Congratulations. So here's the cool part of this, and I love this piece. All of a sudden, as they're waiting in Troas on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea, God gives them this vision of a man of Macedonia. So what do? They conclude, that's where we're supposed to go. So they pick up and set sail, and they head over to Neapolis and then Philippi. And look at this, Thessalonica, Berea, Apollonia, Amphipolis, Athens, Corinth, all these places. Why is that a big deal? Because most of us in the room were impacted by that moment right there. Why? Because so far, the gospel has only been in the continent of Asia. But now all of a sudden, as they set sail and get to Neapolis, where is Neapolis? What continent? Europe. And if you know your geography, modern day, where are places like Thessalonica or Athens or Corinth, modern day? Greece. And to the west of Greece is what? Italy. And to the west of Italy is what? See geography, guys. Is what? Spain. And to the west of Spain is Portugal. And to the west of Portugal is the Atlantic Ocean. And west of the Atlantic Ocean is what? The nation you and I live in. This is the moment that the gospel begins to reach to the west. And I love it because, again, that impacts many of us in this room. Not all of us, but I think it's significant that you and I have been impacted by the obedience of Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and the crew. Their sacrifices, their passion to live in step with the Holy Spirit has made a difference in, I would wager, every one of our lives, however and wherever you came to faith in Christ around the globe, every single one of us. But I come back to the series, Wish You Were Here, because it's that whole picture of, wow, these guys gave all of that to make a difference 2,000 years later in my life? Yes. But if it's Wish You Were Here, the question becomes, what about you? And what are the sacrifices that God would challenge you to step into to make a difference for the sake of the gospel? That if Jesus isn't coming back in 4 days, and I'm not aware that he is, for the record, what about your role in Acts chapter 1000? It's not just, wow, these guys are amazing. It's how is the Holy Spirit challenging me? How do I live in step with the Holy Spirit? So that I'm not just existing, getting through this life, afraid of all the craziness going on in our world, but eventually we'll get to heaven. That's not the point. The point is the kind of life in step with the Holy Spirit that makes a difference in your spheres of influence. Wherever you go, whatever you do, from there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. And we're about to get into some of the craziness of what happens in Philippi. And I'm excited about it. While it's a long series, there's so much here. And it's about to heat up. But let me come back to the point of what I'm trying to say today. Anybody ever been in the market for a vehicle? And you laugh because you're like, I hate this world. Car world is a rough one. Buying a vehicle is hard. And you may be looking for a new car or a used car, but most of us probably do what I did. We got a Nissan Armada a long time ago, and we had it for almost 19 years. And we decided, I think it's time to make a change and get something a bit newer. And so we were in the market. And we have a boat that we take out to Lake Stevens and do some tubing and stuff. So I needed something big enough to tow a boat. So all of a sudden I'm looking, that narrows the field a bit. And as we're looking and reading and all this stuff for a while, I'm aware of prices and trim packages and colors and wheel choice and all the stuff, right? And that's the homework that we do when we're looking for a vehicle. And so what happens as I'm doing all of this homework, as I'm randomly driving around our community? Oh, look, there's one. Oh, look, there's one. Anybody with me? Oh, look, there's one. And to the T now, having done all the homework that I was doing, we finally figured out what we wanted. But now anywhere I go, there's one of those that we got. And like I said, because I read up and did all the homework on the trim packages, I know when I drive past one that we were looking at, I know what model it is. I know what, you know, numbers and letters are on the back of the car. And I all of that. Why? Because it's not rocket science. Once you care, and once you increase your awareness of something, you start seeing it over and over and over. And again, it's not a stretch to say this. The same is true, listen, with the work of the Holy Spirit. If you just simply walk out of here believing that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, believing that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in you and through you, in your family, or as a parent, or as a kid, at your workplace Monday through Friday, or whatever your hours are, in that apartment complex or neighborhood or wherever you live, you believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you wisdom, impart a word, make a scripture that you've been randomly reading jump off the page into a situation. Wherever you are, the more awareness that you have of it, the more sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit working, not just on a Sunday morning. So what does that look like for you? I was blown away as I was reading this. Within a couple of verses, the Holy Spirit didn't allow this. We tried that. The Holy Spirit didn't allow that. We hung out over here, and as we're seeking Jesus, I had a vision, and then we decided that was what God was saying. Oh, to live like that. That the Lord is guiding. That the Lord is the author of all of our days and wants you and I to be involved in Acts chapter whatever. That's not just these guys. The wish you were here isn't just that's cool. It's no. I'm convinced that you and I are here. And it's not just being encouraged by their stories, but inspired to live like that. Jesus, today, I pray that you would help us believe in a fresh way that this isn't just religion, spirituality, just how to live a good life or how to measure up to get to heaven or any of those things, because none of those are right. That what this is a God who loves us so deeply that he dealt with the issues of our rebellion as a humankind by going to the cross and paying the price. That the word gospel that they were wanting desperately to share got to Europe, and it means good news. And it impacts us today in a lot of ways because of that moment for a lot of people in the room. But Father, I pray that it wouldn't just be us reading and going, wow, that's pretty cool about those guys. But that we begin to go, what is my place? With the Holy Spirit living inside of me, causing my belief in what you're asking of me in surrender is to live this adventure that changes my outlook Sunday, Sunday afternoon and night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back to Sunday again every week. Jesus, move in our souls, awaken things that need to be awakened, that cause us to believe that you're wanting to do a deeper work. Father, challenge us to live in step with the Holy Spirit, that we're part of the book of Acts, not just looking at it going, wow, that's incredible, but realizing you're inviting us into that same adventure in step with the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.